As varied as our topography and soils, as rich as our resources, so varied and rich are the voices and stories of the folks around us. Come neighbor a bit with me, Sam Stroop. Grab a cup of coffee, pull up a comfy chair, let's get to talking. Hey, I'm talking with Marissa Wessel. She's kind of a newbie to Howard County, lives south of Glasgow, and I've known her for, maybe almost a year.
Yeah, working on two.
I think the first time I met you, you were painting the back of your pickup flatbed, and you were really proud of the work you did. I thought, she's proud of her paint job. She's my kind of gal. You're kind of hard to catch. You're like kind of a twirling tornado or a merry-go-round in high speed, and I don't quite know how to tack all I want to learn about you, but I guess I'll just start at it and see if I can slow you down enough to get something out of you. So anyway, you're into horses.
Yep.
When did that start?
Well, my mom and dad were raised with horses, and then, you know, they both went along their ways. My dad trained horses, and then they met, moved to Fulton, and trained horses, and then they, you know, they had my sister and I, and so we were just born into it. We kind of just always had a way with horses, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Did your dad ever own some land that he ran horses on, or?
Yeah, we currently, like, as a kid, or?
Yeah.
Well, as a kid, he grew up in, like, southern Indiana, and they had a big, almost 500-acre farm, and it was called Ruckshire's, one of the biggest saddlebred productions in the world.
Hmm.
And then he kind of moved along and got down to Callaway Hills. I don't know if you've ever heard of Callaway Hills, and I think it's like Holt Summit, where they're another big company, like big horse farm. And then he moved, you know, decided to work at William Woods University as the barn manager. And then he bought about, we have about 25, 30 acres that we have and we run horses on, and always had anywhere between, you know, 15 to 40.
Hmm. His favorite is saddlebreds still or not?
He does like the saddlebreds. Saddlebreds are probably, that's his gig. That's what he was raised around.
Okay. To him, they're a more challenging animal than some of the others, or what's he like about them? Are they spirit or high spirit or what?
They're very high spirited, and you raise the right kind, you definitely want to have them. You can make money off of them, that's for sure.
Mm.
They're fun to ride, very fun to show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, lots of people like to see what you have.
This is a nosy question. Just say none of your damn business if you want, but has he made some money with horses, or has it been out of pocket always?
He's made some pretty good money.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. When you work that hard, that's good to hear.
Yeah, you can make some pretty good money on them.
Yeah. And you do barrel racing. When did you start that?
Probably about 5 years ago. I was giving lessons to some little kids, and they had a horse that they couldn't catch that they bought off a sale barn, and they told me if I could catch it, I could have it. So I went out there, and I spent about 3 hours out there, and I caught her, took her home, taught her to ride, and I was like, well, there's a trash can. And then I got three of them, and then I started going around trash cans and stuff, and I was like, well, why not go to a fun show?
Huh.
So that's kind of where it all started.
Yeah. How'd you catch it originally? Was feed or just walk up to it finally?
Got her into a barn and kind of got her cornered up and put a rope around her neck and then
mm-hmm.
got the halter on her.
Yeah, yeah. Had she been broken or not?
No. So. She was an unbroke three-year-old.
Okay. And you were pretty responsible, or did your dad help a lot, too, with the breaking of it?
No, she was really easy to start.
Okay.
I mean, she never really bucked. I kind of just got on her and just started riding her. She,
mm-hmm.
easy horse. Probably the easiest one I've ever rode.
Huh. And so she was the first one you did barrel racing with.
Then. Yeah. Taught her to ride, and then...
How long did you barrel race with that horse?
Probably about a year and a half, and then... We have a Mennonite friend named Marvin Martin, and my dad did some trading because he could see that I really liked the quarter horses. He did some trading with Saddlebreds to get me. He bought me 2 quarter horse colts, and we started them and kind of just worked our way up and bought stuff, sold stuff, bought 2 horses off the racetrack that were supposedly, like, not ever to be, you know, anything, and made them something, and just worked my way up to get where I am today.
How old were you when you started this barrel racing?
Probably about 14 or 13.
Okay. And now you're barrel racing how often?
Probably twice a weekend. So, I try to go every weekend.
Wow.
So, we'll go 2 shows a weekend because I'm trying to win Rookie of the Year for MRCA URA.
To win that, what do you have to accomplish?
So, this is my first year with a membership for them, and you just have to be the highest money earner for out of all the rookies, so all the first years.
Okay.
So, right now, I'm probably about 2nd or 3rd, so...
So to do that, you have to do a lot of barrel
racing. I got to hit a lot of rodeos this summer, yeah.
Oh, wow. Makes me tired. Like I said, you're like a tornado twirling around really fast, and it's hard to catch a hold of you.
Yeah.
How many barrels are set up in a barrel race?
3.
And what is the distance between them? Do you know?
It just depends on the pin.
Okay.
They're all different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a... Never really thought about that.
So there isn't a standard. Every barrel race, the barrels are this far apart, and the lot is this long, and it varies. So.
It does vary between pens, because, mm-hmm. you know, you've got a standard pattern, or like a just normal, I mean, it's always different. They're never set up the same.
Mm-hmm. So you can't, can you even say, well, my best time is such and such?
No, not you really. If I that, run at an arena, mm-hmm. like, for instance, we have a little arena back at home called Timberline, and I mean,
there you can.
There I can, because I'd run there. They'd have like mm-hmm. like a Wednesday night series. Like,
right.
It's a smaller arena. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I ran like a 13.2 there, which is pretty good for that arena.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you feel like your speed is slowly improving, or have you plateaued out and you're not sure what needs to be done next, or where are you at with your racing?
Well, I definitely think I've improved because I'm competing with a lot. Higher, very, like, very, very highly competitive girls right now with the rodeo. My horse that I have, I've only had for about 4 months, and he's already won me various checks, and so, yes, I think I'm improving.
Mm-hmm.
I think my times are getting better. I'm getting faster.
Yeah. How do you train a horse for barrel racing?
You definitely
just do it?
Definitely slow work, lots of slow work. I mean, it's very kind of repetitive in a way. Like with a colt, you definitely want to make sure it has a really good handle and a good start on it. Because if it doesn't have a correct start, it's going to cheat you. I mean, you want to have the correct start. You want your horse to be light. Like
out of the gate fast. Is that what you're saying?
Not quite yet. Whenever you teach them, you want to go slow and teach them to hold themselves. I mean, everything's got to be correct.
Okay.
Way their hips position, way you just going towards the barrel, everything. So, like, there's a lot to it. I don't even think I could explain it. I just mm-hmm. have to show,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. So you just start out at a slow pace with them.
Yeah.
And then do they naturally want to go faster?
They
or
do.
Or do you increase their speed?
They do. Okay. You're going to push them, but... Whenever they're young and you're starting them, you know, you start out at a trot and then you go to a, you know, you slow lope, and then you're always, every time you can see, you will push them a bit to see if they can go a little bit faster, handle the barrels, be able to rate themselves. If they can rate themselves, you just, you know, most of them, some of them, it comes natural to them. They're just ready to, you know, roll. They're ready to rate themselves. But there's some horses, you know, you have to slow down. Let's do it correct.
Is there anything in the barrels or are they empty?
Well, it just depends. If you're going to hit a metal barrel, it's a 55-gallon barrel. It's pretty heavy. I mean, it's going to hurt.
Gotcha. And what happens if you knock over a barrel? What does that do to your...
+5 penalty.
Okay.
So it's 5 seconds.
5 seconds they mm-hmm. take off. Okay.
Yeah.
And so have you ever knocked over all 3?
No. You know, I don't think so, no.
Mm-hmm. pretty clean. You don't, pretty rare that you do knock one over.
I don't want to say it because I don't want to jinx myself, but yeah.
Good.
Depends on the horse. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you've got the horse now that you want to work with? Or are you starting to wonder about it?
You know, he's an awesome horse, runs the barrels the way I like, but never dealt with something as quirky as him. He is so quirky, as in, like, you know, sometimes going in the gate, he can be really hot, or tying up at the trailer, he doesn't like to tie sometimes, and you just got to tell yourself, I'm doing good, I'm winning, I'm going to get past these quirks. And then soon enough, like, I'm so used to it this time, I just accommodate them.
Huh.
Because he's a good horse.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a horse you're willing to work with now, then?
Yeah, I'm willing to make it work with him. He's pretty sweet.
Is his youth part of his quirkiness? Will some of that work out as he gets a little more mature? Don't know.
He's 13. I think he should know better.
Oh, okay.
I think he lived a pretty spoiled life at the home he was at before.
So this is not your colt that you're working
with? This is not my colt. I have a colt that I started. She's got about 45 days on her.
You said you're racing against some pretty talented gals now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a camaraderie, or are you competitive and ready to scratch each other's eyes out when you're around each other?
Everybody's pretty friendly. I mean, we all want to win.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, I'd say everybody's pretty friendly. We
Good.
All, you know, they get to know you and who
treat
you are.
Treat each other well.
Treat each other well. They're not going to be mean to you, but we all want to win.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an entry fee?
Yeah.
That you pay?
Anywhere from like 60 to 80 bucks.
Okay.
So.
And what can the top prize be? If you pay 50, what might be the top winning prize coming back in your pocket?
It just depends on how many girls enter. Let's say you have 30 girls or more. I mean, I think last weekend, I think the winning check was like almost 900 bucks for fourth place. I took home almost 300 bucks, so it was a pretty good chunk of change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that helps.
It does help every little bit.
A lot of gas going into driving all over these places.
Yes, it does.
Pretty well stay in Missouri, or are you going out of state some?
Kansas, Oklahoma.
Okay.
It just varies. Mm-hmm. Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And if you ride twice on a weekend, is that two different places? Or?
Yeah, two different places.
Wow.
So, like, I went from Moberly to LaBelle, Missouri last weekend.
Come Monday, you're kind of glad to get back to work and slow down, huh?
For sure.
How much work do you do with the horse during the week?
I ride him every day I try to ride a little over 30 minutes every day. If I can't, I try to at least get in something. I always long trot him or, you know, lope circles. He doesn't need practice on the barrels, but he's got to stay legged up. So it's just keeping him legged up in the best shape he can be.
Mm-hmm. By legged up, you mean just work on those leg muscles? Is that
just general
doing?
Riding, so he's so he doesn't, you know, because they'll be winded if you're not working them.
Yeah. What kind of training do you do to yourself? Anything? Just ride.
I just ride. I mean. Eat.
You don't do push-ups and pull-ups
and
all that kind of stuff.
I just eat healthy. Not all the times when you're on the road, you got to eat chips or something.
Right. Yeah. Is there an overall best age and sex for the horse that tends to be when they are in their prime? Or?
Not really. I mean, it just depends on the horse itself. My friend has a 4-year-old that, I mean, mare, it's flat whipping everybody's butts, and she's not even really seasoned. It just depends on the horse and their wanna. If they wanna, you know, they wanna try for you, they're gonna try their heart out. It just depends. I've always said a mare will work harder for you than a gelding will, but I have a gelding now, so crossing my words, I think.
You've taught riding too.
Yes.
Was that for a long period of time that you were teaching riding, or was that just kind of a quick gig that you picked up?
I did every now and then at home, and then I got offered I did get offered full time, but I definitely did it, you know, I'd teach lessons 2 or 3 times a week. I still go out there whenever they need help, and it's amazing to see what those kids can do and how much, you know, they actually want to learn how to ride.
Hmm. So for you, it's pretty rewarding. That's part of the draw for you, just the joy of seeing other people enjoy riding, I guess.
That's for sure, yeah. I
Yeah.
mean, you don't see many kids that, have that kind of, work ethic to want to go do something. Most of the kids just want to lay on the couch or play video games these days. And these kids want to learn, want to try hard and actually learn.
Kids, is there a typical age
I
that
mean,
you're
they're
talking
coming
about?
from 2 to, I have people that are coming from 70 years old. I mean, between those age gaps, mostly kids between, 18 to 2 years old, but like even the 2 year old, I mean, they're picking up quick. Like they want to do it. It's surprising. I've never seen a 2 year old kid actually focus.
Wow.
We don't have many of them, but
Yeah.
we had one or two, and the kids really loved it.
Yeah. So what are you actually teaching them? Or you just put them on a horse and give them some pointers?
So I was teaching saddle seat lessons, and whenever you first start out, you got to teach them about balance and how to hold themselves, because you don't want them to you the horse needs to be comfortable too. You don't want them flopping all over them. You want them to learn the correct posture, how to hold their hands, how to post. So posting is, when a horse trots you, you've got to sit up and down like you're getting up out of a chair. And some of the kids take it really easy, some don't, but they learn, and it's like muscle memory. It's
Yeah.
a lot of muscle memory, and you're teaching them how to carry themselves and learn that muscle memory to be able to do it. It's amazing.
How many people do you work with at one time? Just one person at a time?
We do have group lessons and we have private lessons. So the private lessons is one at a time. Group can be anywhere from 1 to 5 or
I
six
see.
horses.
Yeah. What does it typically cost somebody to give an individual lesson?
About 35 to 40 bucks
For each lesson.
for each lesson,
Okay.
30-minute increments.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe I won't try tomorrow to learn how to ride. It's pricier than I thought it'd be.
Yeah.
But there's so much expense involved.
It is feeding them, bedding. I mean, you got
Right.
your hay, your grain, your bedding,
Right.
water bill, electric bill. It all adds up.
Yep. And then, your time involvement and
Yeah, they
the
gotta.
building and the acreage, and I understand
Haul the
fully.
manure off. I mean,
Right.
it all adds in.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Now, who is, when you were asked if you would do it full time, who was doing that? Who owned that?
Well, she wanted me to be like an assistant instructor. So, like, her name's Kate Coop. She's one of the best saddle seat instructors that I know
Boone
for.
County?
She's actually from Columbia, so I
Okay.
guess that would be
Yeah.
Boone County. She's right on the Ashland
Right.
line. She goes to a lot of shows during the summer. So, you got to teach the kids that are at home, and she goes on trips. So, she has a life too, and she needs help, so she pays by the less, by
And
each
she owns
ticket.
an acreage
Her
and
mom actually
okay.
owns the barn and
Yeah.
stuff, so her mom is very supportive of her.
Yeah. And you do they work with people with special needs at all, handicapped and this and that, or is she taking?
No, she actually, there's actually a road down the barn that does that, so she
Okay.
doesn't really have any special needs kids,
Yeah.
really.
There's been in the news a lot this last week or two about, I think it's Santa Ana Racetrack out in California. They've had like 29 horses they've had to put down since the beginning of the year. Have you followed that at all?
Not really, but it kind of reminds me of, like, is it that like horse disease that's been going around that's
No,
killing a
I think
lot of
it's
horses or
injuries when they're
injuries?
racing.
I have not really followed that. I know
Yeah.
there's a lot of stuff with like the HIV stuff going around,
I
and
see.
people are not pulling their coggins like they need to be,
Huh.
and causing a lot of issues.
So just disease deaths. Yeah,
Yeah.
no, this was I don't it's kind of scary when the news focuses on something like this, because
Because
it's
it's not
probably
really
the same
widely.
numbers it's always been,
Probably.
and all of a sudden, whoa, we got this real problem out in California. What are we gonna do? My God,
California is a pretty
Yeah.
blamable state.
Right.
They got a lot of laws.
Yeah. How might your involvement with horses change down the road? Do you foresee anything different you'd like to be moving into?
Honestly, I'll probably stay with the barrel racing, but I just enjoy riding. I like the colts. I'd probably stick with working colts, but you know, Pete and I went on a trail ride, and you know, that's a good time. And just trail riding, enjoying yourself. Maybe when I get older, I'll probably do some, you know, go on some road trips, go trail riding, you know, sightseeing a little bit while doing it.
Get
So,
up there in the high elevations.
yep.
It's faster than walking.
That's for sure.
Can a horse from Missouri go out to Colorado and perform at 8,000, 9,000 feet, or would it just
No,
knock
I
them
don't.
over?
I mean, they could, but it's pretty. Those are some pretty rough trails. I would say you'd need something a little bit more sure-footed.
Are you happy being a horsewoman in this time and age, or do you wish you were back in the 1800s where everybody were automatically horse people?
You know, it would have been cool to kind of see what it was like. I think if anything, I would have liked to be in a horsewoman about probably 20 years ago, just because the horse people aren't as particular back then, I feel like, as they are now. There's a lot of, well, I don't want your horse if it's not papered. Back then, people didn't care really. They did, but like, not really. You know,
Interesting.
it's all about what you ride, I guess, these
Interesting.
days.
So you don't want to go Amish and so you can be around horses 24/7, huh?
No, I don't think so. They don't really let the women be a part of that.
I was over helping friends during the ice harvest, and it was interesting seeing the teams dealing with ice
Yeah.
and trying to keep their footing, and it was a little delirious, but
It's kind of scary.
everybody lived through it. But and I kept trying to figure out, how do we give them better footing? Sawdust, that wasn't doing it, you know, just whoa, it was messy.
Whoa.
But like I say, everybody lived through it. And I'm always amazed at how automatically those draft horses do things.
Yeah.
Like, we'll be picking corn by hand, and they don't even tell the horses. The horses know when to move ahead and how far to go before they stop at the wagon again.
They're very well trained.
And I said, how does this happen? And they said, well, we're not sure. Maybe this is it. So he went up close to the horses and was ripping off some corn, and they could hear that he was close, ripping corn off a plant there. And so they said, he's close now, it's time to move ahead. And those horses just automatically knew how
Did
to
it.
do all that.
It's crazy.
It really is. It's just mind-boggling and awesome how intelligent and trainable and perfectly
Very good technique.
they work together.
That's for
They
sure.
really do. And then I was amazed at how often the shoes had to be changed on the horses.
I can only
And
imagine.
Pete's aware of that, being a farrier.
Yeah.
No, it's just constant over there. But no flat tires.
No flat tires.
So what's your other work been? You've done donuts a lot.
Work at a donut shop in Fulton. Did that for about 4 years. I enjoyed that and got to help
Did you
decorate.
eat? Did you get to where you could enjoy the donuts all that time? Or did you get
Oh.
where the smell of a donut made you want to
I definitely couldn't. I got a little tired of them, that's for sure.
vomit?
Couldn't eat them for a while.
We used to do cinnamon rolls and sell them at the farmers market in Columbia. And Friday nights we'd be out there wrapping 400 cinnamon rolls, and it got to where just the smell of cinnamon, you just, oh, get me out of here. I can't take this any longer. You tried nursing school.
Yes.
Something you'd like to get back to?
That's for sure. Yeah, it's a very, very needed position, that's for sure. And it'd be very rewarding, we'll just put it that way. So I would enjoy to do that at some point.
Now you started and quit financial reasons. Was that part of it, or just it wasn't the right timing on it, or what?
Yeah, I mean, some financial, my mom's health wasn't great. So just kind of quite a few things played into factor, and you know, I needed to have a job that had insurance so my dad could get the help from my mom that she needed, and then so I kind of just stepped up to the plate and got a full-time job.
So down the road, things may align and you get back to it then.
That's the plan.
There's a lot of star aligning for things to happen. But if you keep looking for the opportunities, they come along.
They do.
They really do. Right now you're working for Midway, is it called Midway Arms?
Midway Arms, Midway USA.
Right. That's Larry Potterfield's organization.
Correct.
Yeah. What are you doing there?
I'm a customer service representative, so I answer the phone calls, and so whether somebody wants to make an order or anything to do with their order, I help them with, and so it's a very it that's a it's a good job, good hours, good people, wonderful place to work at. Everybody's very, very friendly, that's for sure.
You start your day there at what, 7?
I start at 8 actually, and I get
Okay.
off around 4:30.
Okay.
So very good hours, very flexible.
Your boyfriend's Pete Schwarzentruber, was a bull rider when you met him. How did you all meet?
We met at a rodeo in Bon Terre. We'd always kind of known each other, just never really talked or anything. Threw his suitcase over the top of the fence and always hit me and took me out, and I gave him a hard time.
Sounds like a wonderful way to meet.
Yep.
Somebody always knock you in
And then the
the
next day we went and had Mexican, so.
head. First date was Mexican food.
Yes.
Yeah. What have you learned from Pete about horsemanship? Anything?
There's countless things. I mean, never seen somebody understand a horse the way he does. I mean, he can do just about anything with a horse. There's a lot to learn with being patient and taking your time and just doing it the right way. I mean, he's very talented, that's for sure.
What has he learned from you about horses?
Well, that barrel racing's not that easy,
Huh.
and he
Okay.
thinks he can smoke a set of barrels, and it's not as easy as it looks, he said.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So he's learned to respect barrel racers from you then.
That's for sure. Just not the yelling and screaming part. Go kick, ride.
So there's areas you both could learn from each other and learn on your own about horses, and it's onward forward, isn't
That's for sure.
Well, that's nice. Really appreciate being able to hear about your world, and I'm going to be excited about seeing what new things happen in your life as you're involved with horses around the state of Missouri. Thanks again for this time.
No problem. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this session of Let's Get to Talkin', encourage friends out of the range of our low power station to catch us online. Just Google Sam Stroop, SoundCloud, and the newest and oldest sessions will pop up. If you, like me, have a long day of being focused on my work and life, it's a great day's end to get my mind bent a bit around the life beat of the folks around me. This is Sam Stroop. Catch you next week. Let's get to talking.